The healthcare detective Frank Lally has written a book for Simon & Schuster about how to get affordable healthcare called Your Best Healthcare Now. It is available online, in-store, wherever fine books are sold. Mr. Lally is also the health correspondent for Parade, the former editor of Money and George magazines, the senior advisor, I've promoted him, to healthcare.com. And, yeah, and he's also our go-to guy. And here he is, having ventured into the world of boosterism. Hi, Frank.
Hi, how are you doing? Well, I had a very busy week. I got in a very intriguing question from my cousin that I'll answer for everybody. I was also invited to a Yankees game, and I've got a little story about that. But the big news is I got my third booster shot on Monday. Now, that increased my immunity against the dangerous Delta variant by at least 10 times, maybe 20 times. And by the way, I did not jump the line like more than 1 million Americans already have to get a booster. According to plan, beginning on September 20th, anyone who got their second shot of the Pfizer or the Moderna vaccine 8 months ago or more, okay, 8 months ago or more, you'll be eligible for a third shot, and that's going to be everywhere in the country, 80,000 locations nationwide, and including a pharmacy around the corner from you. Studies show that Pfizer and Moderna's effectiveness against infection may drop by as much as 50% after about 8 months, though it will remain 80% effective against hospitalizations, give or take. So now, if you get the Johnson & Johnson, that's the so-called one and done, I think you'll be cleared for a Pfizer or a Moderna shot, but not until December. So, all in all, when your time comes, please get the booster. But right now, as I speak, only people who are immunocompromised because of serious conditions like cancer or treatments like organ or stem cell transplants are eligible. That's only about 3% of the population. In Connecticut, it's roughly 100,000 people. But that includes me with my history of blood cancer. But right now, it's largely an honor system. If you say you're immunocompromised, you don't have to prove it. At least that's my experience, and I think it's very much the common experience. Last week, I just went to CVS.com. I punched in COVID, and up popped a questionnaire asking whether I had COVID symptoms. Of course, I said no. Whether I'd been exposed to anyone with COVID recently. And again, of course, no. And then when I got my second shot. Now, you need a two-month lag for immunocompromised to get that third shot. I had mine all the way back in February, so that was no problem. And finally, the questionnaire wanted to know whether I was immunocompromised. I said yes. Now, it's an intriguing question. I assume I am. After all, I've been fighting multiple myeloma for 11 years. I've had all sorts of medicine, including prednisone. I've had all kinds of treatments, including an unsuccessful stem cell transplant. But I also had an immunotherapy clinical trial 4 years ago, and I've been cancer-free for 4 years. So, am I immunocompromised or am I immunostrong? So I asked two doctors, including one who's in remission like me, and both of them said, no one knows for sure. Okay, now that was good enough for me. I booked an appointment for Monday at 1 o'clock at the Milliken CVS. I was in and out in 15 minutes. I've had no side effects. And the assistant who gave me a painless shot asked me for my vaccination card, you know, proving that I had had two shots. I produced it, but he never even looked at it. But I did have two questions for him. Though I'd gotten the two Pfizers, I asked whether I could get a Moderna. Now, there's a preliminary study. It's preliminary, okay, but it's out of the Mayo Clinic, and it suggests that the Moderna may be nearly twice as effective against Delta. Anyway, the assistant said, sorry, no Moderna here. We only have Pfizer. So I took the Pfizer. And then I asked my, after he'd given me a shot, I asked my other question. I asked him if I could have a lollipop. But, you know, he said, no, sorry, kid, no lollipop for you. And I don't have any Moderna for you either. So, by the way, my wife, Carol, who's no longer a child bride, but otherwise in very good health, refuses to jump the line. She's waiting. She's masked up. She's being careful. She's going to wait until September 20th when she'll be eligible for the shot. So, Jill, I turn to you. What do you think of the million Americans or more who are jumping the line? Are they being as selfish as the people who refuse to get vaccinated or wear masks?
I think that everybody has their own thing around this, and as long as they are consulting with their physicians, they should do what they need to do.
Okay. All right, let's turn to my cousin who, from New Jersey, who asked me that interesting question. Now, I've reported her entire family got COVID at an outside family gathering a few months ago, whole family. So my cousin, you know, watches a lot of Fox News, wanted to know whether the authorities are using Delta to scare people into getting vaccinated. And of course I said, yes, yes, they are. The Biden administration is trying to scare you because you should be scared of Delta. And that's whether you're unvaccinated or vaccinated. Over 90% of those being hospitalized, including an alarming number of children, are unvaccinated, as well as 99% of today's COVID deaths, 99%. And here's another fact to remember. If you're unvaccinated, you are 10 times as likely to land in the ICU with the Delta as someone who is vaccinated. 10 times as likely. But get this, and you got to understand this. With the highly contagious Delta raging, around 20% of new COVID cases are among people who are vaccinated. 20%. That includes three U.S. senators yesterday, plus the knucklehead governor of Texas, a guy named Greg Abbott. Now, Abbott jumped the line to get vaccinated way back in 2020. And then, for cynical political reasons, just cynical reasons, refused to wear a mask in public. And now he's forbidding Texas cities and schools to mandate masks to protect their people. What a jerk. Now, this gets me to something else. Talking heads and the media keep saying breakthrough infections among the vaccinated, like Abbott and the senators, are rare. What are they talking about? One in five new Delta cases are breakthroughs. That's not rare. That's why you need the booster. So keep your guard up while you're waiting for the booster. Wear your N95 mask indoors. Stay out of crowds and stay 6 feet away from strangers. I mean, remember, my mother said this. Your mother said this. Don't hug a stranger. Okay, never do that. So, Jill, what do you make of this? Why is the media downplaying the many vaccination breakthroughs?
Don't have the answer to that question. But one of the other things that started 2 weeks ago, and it's really, in my view, relevant, is the deadly, double, triple, quadruple deadly Lambda, which doesn't respond to any of the existing vaccines. And that started out on the West Coast, and then it sort of goes quiet. I'm actually, believe it or not, making a point around this. And the fact that they've got the entire Greek alphabet, and according to The Guardian, are going to start naming, when they run out of alphabet variants, Greek alphabet variants, they're going to start naming them after constellations.
So there is
a point at which, again, I'm going to just be repetitive. Talk to your doctor. Get your information about your health from your healthcare provider professional. And because they've got way more information than CNN, MSNBC, Fox, you know, et cetera. And if you have any question about why I'm saying that, it is precisely because our healthcare detective just asked me, now, why do you think the media is saying that breakthrough infections aren't
more prevalent than they are.
Yeah, because they are.
I think they're, you know,
And the data that's coming out around that, what I find, you know, I've always been one of those corrections, retraction types, but also well aware that nobody, you read the headline, you read the first thing, and even if it is completely and utterly wrong. That's okay, because you read it. You don't go back and look the next day and find out.
But look, let's get to a bottom line here. You know, the vaccines, these against the Delta variant, the variants that we know about so far, are effective. Take advantage of that and certainly wear your mask and all the rest. But, you know, the breakthrough stuff, and I think they're just trying to downplay it, not to get people to to be too scared of it. The breakthrough stuff is just one of my criticisms of the media. I've got others. I mean, I said my friend offered me two good seats, the Yankees versus the Red Sox at the stadium on Tuesday night. You know, very generous offer. I was really tempted, but I didn't dare go into a crowd with no mask or vaccination protection from fans. I mean, they scream in your ear for 3 hours. They spill a beer on you. I mean, look, you know, the Yankees used to have vaccination-only sections, but they don't have that anymore. I watched the game on TV. Yankees won 2-0. Yippee. I was safe. But here's what fascinates me about the media and this coverage. The media pounced on what it reported as the 700,000 ignorant, tattooed, hard-drinking bikers who created a super spreader event over 10 days in August in Little Sturgis, South Dakota, right? And I'd say rightly so. This year's mass biker event in South Dakota sparked hundreds of COVID cases throughout the Midwest. That was last year. This year, it will surely be worse with no mask or vaccination requirements and, of course, with Delta. But if it's okay for the media to smack the tattooed bikers, why isn't the media and the administration speaking up about the national pastime? I mean, Major League Baseball is staging super spreader games every day all over the country. Turn on your TV, watch any baseball game you want. You'll see upwards of 40,000 people in the stands, virtually no one wearing masks, not even in the dugouts. So here's my bottom line. And Jill, you know I've been covering the coronavirus from day one along with Marshall. Here's my bottom line on controlling COVID. I've come around to thinking the only way to control the coronavirus is with sweeping national and state mandates. I did not come to that conclusion lightly. Only 10% of businesses are requiring workers to get vaccinated. That leaves 90%, including many big guys like Walmart, Amazon, food processors like Tyson. They argued that if they put in the mandates, it's going to drive away low-wage workers, all kind of worker shortages. Okay, that's their excuse. But it's worth noting that Connecticut is only the seventh state to mandate vaccinations for all government employees and teachers. Only the seventh. And city leaders in Connecticut, by the way, are urging governor to go farther than that and impose statewide mask mandate, which he's refusing to do so far. But look, far better. We need a national vaccination mandate for government workers, as well as all people in nursing homes, people working in hospitals, and yes, in our schools. There will not be a vaccine for children 5 years to 11 for another 4 or 5 months. And then after they get those shots, it's going to be a month or so before they're actually immune. Meantime, leaders and parents should be doing all they can to protect their kids from a virus that can cause hospitalizations. And if your kid lands in a hospital, about 15% of those kids have long-term health problems. And it can be so much worse. I mean, 600 children have died of COVID. So here is what I say, Jill. No child should get COVID because of adult neglect. Not one.
Thank you, Frank, the healthcare detective and senior advisor to healthcare.com. Send your questions or concerns about finding affordable health care to healthcaredetective@robinhoodradio.com. Frank will try to address as many of your questions as he can on future broadcasts. Also, look for his book, Your Best Healthcare Now, available online, in-store, and on my desk.